إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, we are looking at the qualities of the غرباء, the strangers, and we saw the first quality was the quality of being on the truth, on being on haq. The second quality of the غرباء, of the people who are the strangers who have been promised Jannah, is that they are people who are on justice, people who are on adl, people who are on justice. The concept of justice is the fundamental concept of Islam. It is the fundamental concept of the Sharia. And this is what distinguishes Islam from anyone and anywhere else and anything else. In Islam, there is no... In Islam, justice means that the law is supreme. To the extent that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the famous incident where a woman was brought to him who had been accused of theft, and after due process she was brought to him for sentencing, and he sentenced her according to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and people tried to intervene and they tried to intercede on her behalf because she came from a very wealthy family of Quraysh, and Nabi sallallahu, and her name happened to be coincidentally Fatima, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that in her place, if it had been Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I would have given the same punishment. By this we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed even himself and his own family under the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the distinguishing feature of the law of Islam. In most other ways and most other ideologies, the king is the lawmaker and the king is above the law. So the law cannot be applied on the king because the king makes the law. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is the lawmaker. And therefore the Nabi himself put himself under the law. If at that time, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had indicated either directly or indirectly that the law does not apply to him, then you could not have protested, because who would have protested in any case? But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do that. The law applied, and he applied the law to himself in every single way. What was halal for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was haram for him. Except for one or two things where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave some special dispensations for the Nabi. For example, the number of wives he had and so on. But other than that, everything. What was halal, what is halal for the common man is halal for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is haram for the common man is haram for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is fard for the common man was fard for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and more. The five salawat are fard for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't pray one salah, he prayed five salahs. And of course, he prayed more than that. Fasting was fard on the common person, the fasting was fard on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So justice, the hallmark of Islam is justice. Justice of Islam is established also in terms of those who live in under the Islamic law. So if the Islamic law is applicable in any country, then the people who are not Muslim, who live under that Islamic law, are also beneficiaries from the justice of Islam. For example, if there is a theft that is committed, if a Muslim steals from a non-Muslim, that Muslim will be subject to the law of Islam, just as a non-Muslim who steals from a Muslim will also be subject to the same law if the Sharia is in operation. There is no difference. It is not to say that the Sharia permits the Muslim to steal but does not permit the non-Muslim to steal. No. The law is the same. The laws of the rights of the neighbors, for example. We know the famous hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he said that Jibreel alayhi salam came and emphasized the rights of the neighbors repeatedly so many times and so much that I thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now going to reveal ayat to say that the neighbor is a shareholder in your inheritance. To that extent, Jibreel Islam came and emphasized the right of the neighbors, and this is any neighbor, it's not only a Muslim neighbor. Today, the biggest problem that we have with respect to Islam is that people do not understand, and when I say people, I don't mean the other, I mean Muslims. Muslims do not understand Islam in its entirety, and that's the reason why we keep on emphasizing the issue of living Islam, not just talking about Islam, actually practicing Islam in our own lives. And that's why I said every time we listen to one of the reminders, let us ask ourselves and say, which of these laws am I applying in my own life? When we talk about the rights of neighbors, let us even at least find out who is my neighbor, what is the name of my neighbor. Laws of Islam, Islam spread by the means of winning of hearts, not by the means of winning arguments. Islam spread by the winning of hearts. And hearts were won because people saw the beauty of Islam. There's a famous hadith, a sahabi came home one day and he found that people were in his house, somebody had slaughtered a sheep and they were cooking the food, and he kept on saying again, and have you given something to the Jew who is our neighbor? Have you given something to the Jew who is our neighbor? Over and over and over. Specifically, have you given something to the Jew who is our neighbor? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam emphasizes, and this is what happened in Islam, where people, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, for example, once he was walking down in Medina, he saw an old Jewish man, and he was the man was not obviously he was very poor, he was begging, and he didn't seem to be in even health wise not in a good condition. So Sayyidina Umar asked him, why are you like this? So he said, well, what am I supposed to do? I am not well. I am an old man. I have no family, and I have nowhere to live. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu called the people who, the administration, and he told them. He said, how is it just that when this man was young, that he paid a tax to the state, and today when he is old, nobody is there to take care of him? So he said immediately he started a pension for this man, and he said, take him and ensure that he has a place to live and he has food to eat, and this is money for him. And this was a Jewish man, not a Muslim. This was a Jewish man. The Amirul Mu'mineen, the head of the state, is personally intervening in that matter, and he's saying that this man is a subject of the state, and therefore the state has a responsibility for his welfare right to this last day. He did not say, go and convert him. He didn't say, put a sword to his neck and make him say, La ilaha illallah. No, no. There are no examples of the Sahaba. Of course, this whole issue of forcible conversion is nonsense, because the conversion is always in the heart. So nobody can force the heart to change. But I'm saying there are no examples from the Sahaba of Muslims oppressing the non-Muslims who were under their care. On the other hand, they went so over the top with regard to being good to them, that people actually accepted Islam because of that. There is another, that's why I say keep reading the Seerah. There's one famous incident from the Seerah of one Saria, one battle expedition, where the Muslims went and they, in the battle, they captured some people who were not Muslim. So they captured them and they were bringing them back. These were prisoners of war. And these prisoners saw that the first day when they camped, the Muslims actually gave them more food than they were eating themselves. So they had bread and dates. These people ate the dates and they gave the bread to the prisoners. So these people were very surprised. How is this? We are prisoners. These are our captors. And they are giving us more food. And this continued all the way till they came to Medina. And they gave them more food and they treated them well. And these people, they asked them, they said, what is this? Why are you doing that? You are giving us more food than you are eating. So they said, this is our Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, be good to the captive. So we have to practice our Islam. This is Islam? This is Islam. So when they reached Medina, they all accepted Islam. They all came into Islam because they said, well, this is how our captors treated us. And if this is the religion, then this is the religion we want. This is the issue of justice. And that is the reason why the famous ayat of the Quran, which recently there was this news that this ayat has been posted in Harvard Law School on their notice board or wherever it was, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this specifically and said, stand for justice even if it is against yourself. and against your parents and against your children and against your own kith and kin and against your tribe. Stand for justice, even if it is against yourself. This is Islam. What is the meaning of saying stand for justice even if it is against yourself? Which means that if you commit a mistake, immediately accept that mistake. Don't justify it. Don't try to make all kinds of reasons and so on to say how this happened and that. No. If I made a mistake, I was wrong. I am sorry. I apologize. I was wrong. Whoever you might be. You might be the biggest sheikh in the world. You are not free from making mistakes. You might be the biggest king in the world. You are not free from making mistakes. If you make a mistake, stand for justice against yourself means what? Immediately, if you make a mistake, as soon as it is brought to your attention, immediately accept your mistake. The finest example of this is what happens when somebody is reciting Quran in Salah. If the Imam makes a mistake, what happens? The Muqtadi at the back will give him the luqma. Yes, he corrects him. What does the Imam do? Does the Imam stop the Salah and turn around and say, excuse me, are you Hafiz Quran? Where did you study? Which Darul Ulum, which Jamia are you a graduate from? Does he do that? No. The Imam can be the Imam of Haram. And I'm not saying that because the Imam of Haram has any special status in this religion. He does not. But I'm saying it can be the biggest, the greatest Sheikh, the biggest Hafiz. If he makes a mistake in his recitation, and the person who is correcting him, maybe that particular ayat is the only ayat he knows for his fit, for his good luck or whatever you want to call it. That was the mistake he made. This fellow knows only that much. But if he gives him a luqma, the Imam will take this luqma, the Imam will correct himself. This is, according to me, this is a sign of the justice of Islam, to say that as far as the deen is concerned, the haqq is haqq. No matter who said it, we don't care. We don't even ask. Have you ever seen the Imam turn around and say, who gave me the luqma? I want to see this person. Does he have a beard? How old is he? We don't care. Whoever it is, if he has given a luqma, if he prompts and the man made a mistake, if he prompts, you take the prompt. Now, these are indicators of the issue of justice in Islam. Justice is to stand for the truth. And that is why the two are linked. When you say you are a person of truth, what does it mean? Automatically, you are a person of justice. You cannot say, I'm a person of truth and then be unjust. And justice begins with yourself. And then extends to the nearest ones and then the next and the next. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those whose actions and whose conduct will become a source of attracting the people to Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to use us for the spread of His deen by spreading this deen within ourselves and within our own families first. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy and be pleased with us, to follow the religion that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought, and to live our lives according to the beautiful sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.